Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text is the gospel lesson, and the piece of it known as the Song of Simeon. You recall in the older liturgies, it was known as the Nunc Dimittis, and it was sung. And the words, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. My eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light to the light of the Gentiles, and for the glory of the people Israel." Simeon and Anna, two people noted in this particular lesson, are a couple of bit players in what goes on with Jesus early in his life. They're people who appear right here and no place else. And they come and they do their part of recognizing who Jesus is and what he's to become and trying to let the parents know what it is they're going to see. So it's my guess that this is a combination with the Old Testament lesson, which talked about what men were to do when they had a child. There was to be presented to the Lord, and there were certain sacrifices to be made for the gift of a child. And these were not optional. They were something that had to be done. And they would come and they would bring it to the temple, then they would do what needed to be done. And so, as Luke records it in the verse before this, Jesus was circumcised very early before this, on like the eighth day. And now they're coming to do for him what's desired and required by the law for the fact that he was born and was healthy. What it seems like is that the Old Testament hope, which is what Simeon's speaking of, he's talking about what he refers to as the consolation of Israel. So it's what Israel was looking for, hoping for, and wanting to see. It was the Old Testament put into one possibility, hoping that they would see the Messiah. They hoped to see the one who would come and right things, put things back the way they should be, and elevate Israel to the prominence that they felt it should have. So the Old Testament hope was that there was one coming. They weren't sure what the one that was coming was going to look like. A lot of them really wanted the one that was coming to look a little like Patton, with a 45 on each hip and driving on a white horse. They wanted him to come in. They wanted him to kick out the Romans and take over. Strange, they didn't get what they wanted. What they got was a Savior who went on and died. That's not the kind of Savior. That's not the consolation they were looking for. But Simeon was the connecting point between the Old Testament hope that there would be someone who would come, someone who would show the world that the Israelites were God's chosen people. Not because they were so great, but because God had mercy and grace upon them and appointed them to be his people. They didn't make it by what they were. They didn't make it because of who they were. They made it because God chose them and allowed them to be. So he's the connector between the Old Testament hope. Hey, you know, we hope sometime, because we've been told there's coming to be one that we have looked for centuries. One who will bring us together and make us a people again. One who will make us stand for something. And the one who stood. The one who was born, delivered, grew up, became a prophet of his own, spoke the words of God to his people, and eventually died for what he said. He's the connector. Simeon was. He's between the Old Testament, where they're looking for a Messiah, and the New Testament, where Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah, which they didn't always appreciate and weren't always willing to understand. But he's the one that's in the middle. You look at the Old Testament as one thing, and the New Testament as another. And this character, Simeon, appears in the middle of it talking about the consolation of Israel. He's hoping that this is what is really going to happen. He believes that God is going to make something happen that's going to tell him what's going to happen, and he's going to be a part of it. He's old, he's probably sick, he's probably dying. And he's saying to God, "Please, let me see what you're going to do before I die. Let me see what it is that you have in mind. Let me see how you're going to do it and where you're going to do it before I die. And then he does. And he takes the babe and he says, this child is read for many, the rising and falling of many in Israel. This is the one whom God has sent for us. This is the light of the world. This is the one that I've waited for my whole life. This is the one that I give thanks to God for because I've been allowed to see. Now go, family. Raise him as yours, but understand he belongs to God. And so it says, and they returned to their home, and the child grew in wisdom and strength, and he did well. Nobody saw what was going to happen till he was about 30. About age 30, he and John, his shirt-tail cousin, John known as the Baptist, appear on the scene. And Jesus is baptized by John. John saying, no, no, not me. Not me. I shouldn't do this. I should be baptized of you in Jesus' concept to fill all righteousness. You have to do this for me. And he's baptized at the age of about 30. So there's a point in there between birth and about 30 where he's basically run. He's basically being taken care of in a family as a normal child. Probably learned his dad's trade. He probably learned how to work in a carpenter shop. He didn't have all the DeWalt tools and stuff that I have, but of course the ones that I have, the batteries don't work, so they don't matter anyway. He had hand tools, and he learned to use them, and he was probably basically a carpenter's apprentice. And these days, he'd probably be a union carpenter because he learned well enough what to do. So he was prepared for a life, but I'm not sure he was prepared for what life was going to do to him. But Simeon seemed to know that there was going to something happen to this child, this Jesus of Nazareth, that was not going to be the best in the world for him, but the best in the world for us, that he was and is the hope of Israel and the hope of us all. So here we stand in the Christmas season remembering the baby. Christmas works well for us because we have nice Christmas carols, Christmas hymns, Christmas music, lights, trees, too much to eat, and all the other things that go with Christmas. But Christmas also reflects the coming of the end. Christmas reflects what's going to happen on Good Friday. A lot of the pictures that you see that reflect the manger with the star over the manger, the star will have a vertical component and a horizontal one. So if you look at that picture and you see that star over the manger, you can see a cross. And there's a cross in the future of Jesus of Nazareth. He was made acceptable to God by what his parents did, by what they were required to do for the law. He was made acceptable to us by what God had him do for us in living and dying in our place. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. According to your word, for mine eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of the people Israel. Amen. Go in peace. The peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.